Hi, I'm Adam Bannister. I'm going to give you a quick talk about author disambiguation with the help of Wikidata. I'll just tell you a bit about myself and where I work at the moment. So I work at ZB Math, also known as Zentralblatt, for Mathematik, also for maths, here in Berlin. And it's the world's most comprehensive and longest running abstracting and reviewing service in pure and applied mathematics. So we get lots of mathematical papers and from all sorts of journals. And I work on a project which is scalable author disambiguation. Okay, thanks. I'm going to just talk to you about how we do that and what I've learned from using Wikidata information so far. So I'm going to quickly go through the problem that we have with this disambiguation, the aims, like what we want to achieve, how external IDs can help. So Wikidata will be an external ID for us, and applications, that what we can do with external IDs then. Okay, so the problem. It's two classical problems, would be homonyms and synonyms. So we have the top there, Michael or Michael Müller, and there can be 200 of them who do maths. They all release papers, they're all different people, but we have to say that it's 200 people, not just one person, for example. Another one would be with Chinese characters or other transcriptions that we would maybe just put many different characters, Chinese characters, and we just always transcribe it to way or why. So they'd be the two biggest examples of that. And then for synonyms, we have also Russians. I think the one on the right there is the German version, Chebyshev, and the one on the left would be the English. But then you'd also have Cyrillic. Not sure what that is in English. And then we also have name change due to marriage or fleeing from persecution. That would also be a big problem in the Second World War when a lot of Germans would have to flee. Now that we know the problem, now we've decided on how to solve this problem. So we want to actually have authors rather than have just a mix of papers. So we can intellectually decide how to do that. But of course, we need to scale. So we can say, those two people, we can look into each of the papers, see which their affiliations were, the dates they were there, the co-authors, and we can, of course, then decide. Or if I happen to know a bit mathematics, I can also say, well, if someone's doing that and someone's doing that, it's the same person. But if someone's doing that and someone's doing that, they are in no way the same person. So with external IDs, such as Wikidata, we can get the birth date. From other projects, we can get, or other external IDs, we get things like PhD date, and those help narrow down the list of candidates. So we can, of course, decide if we have the birth date of an author and they've written something before their birth date, then they're not included. If they've written something after their death date, it's a bit more complicated because you have reprints. So there you also have to, we have to also do a reprint detection, so we can say this paper was released at this date, but that's not an actual real date, because it is a real date, but the author could have also written it before he died. That's what I mean, it'll be released after they were, there's usually a lot of time you can sort of go with 3 to 5 years for mathematicians, but yeah, also you have that problem as well. So with external IDs, as I said, we can use this. We can use this information. We have to do some matching, of course. We need to match these. So where I work is ZB Math, and we have to match these with, for example, there's Wikidata. Mathematical Genealogy Project is also quite a good one for mathematicians. I'll refer to that as MGP from now on. We have the Deutsche Nationalbibliothek. They use GND. So there was just a talk just there a minute ago, what they're doing. And then we have also other things, so like from everything like DBLP to Math Overflow. And what we have to do is we need to match our IDs with their IDs. So we do this with machine learning. We recently made a match for the MGP with MGP, and we got 30,000 links from them using a very simple SVM with a few features. So we match with name. We match with fields they work in, because if for mathematical papers, you also have an identifier for the type of field that they're in, so we can match with them. And also they have their PhD year, so we can say, well, generally, people don't produce work before their PhD, or 4 or 5 years before their PhD. And if so, then it's suspicious, and we're just going to ignore that for now, but and we won't do the match. what we want to do then. Yeah, just to give you an idea then about the external IDs. I got a small sample of exactly 8,648 Wikidata persons who are probably mathematicians. We got that from Kaggle, which is a website that has lots of data sets, which I recommend everyone looks at. I couldn't get in touch with them because you need to have uploaded something to Kaggle to send a message to someone else. I didn't find out how he figured out they were probably mathematicians, but he was talking about, they give all the information, the simple information, but then if you dug a little bit deeper, you could get external IDs. So we could see that from these 8,500, we get just over 5,000 MGP. So that shows you that the data that is available, it's quite available. There's quite a lot of data. We have GND, which is over 4,000. We have RZB Math ID, which is going to go up quite soon because I have a plan. So that's the sort of the data we're talking about. So it's quite a lot of data there. And if you think about it, each one of those, Wikidata has birth date, all these metadata which we can use then to disambiguate. So we get our PhD date from MGP, we get our birth date and possibly death date from Wikidata. We can get a lot more as well. So I'll show you a few applications. We have Paul Erdős. He's a very, very famous mathematician. He collaborated with almost everyone. He's like the he's the Frank Bacon, what's the name? Kevin Bacon is the mathematician, the actor version, the Bacon number. They have the Erdős number as well. So almost everyone who's written anything has the links up to the fourth number or fifth number or something. So people want to have the second number, the first number, of course. I can show you that, how it looks, what we've done. So here he is. We have some external links here. We can see MathNet.ru, that's from Russia. Wikidata is there, and what we've done recently, I think just like last week it was, there's a timeline that is at Wikidata now. And what we did was we have embedded that into our author profiles. So I just need to be able to scroll. Yep. So we have down here all of the dates that Paul Erdős did anything. We can basically then we go straight onto Wikidata and we can or Wikipedia or Wikidata, I think it's Wikidata, and see those. So we can use this, of course, for this ambiguation. It gets a bit complicated because you have to decide what to use and what not to use, and what when it's missing, what do you do then? But it's something that we definitely want to improve on. But at the moment, it's just a cool visual feature that we have that we've gotten just because we have these IDs. I need to go back here now. Okay. So another thing what we can do is we have Wikidata, and the way I like to see Wikidata is like as a hub for IDs. So once we have our Wikidata ID, we have access to all the other IDs that are in our Wikidata. So then we have access to our MGP. So we only have to really do that one matching, and we can be lazy and say, well, because we have the Wikidata ID, we can also get the PhD date from MGP. We can get some extra metadata from GMD, I'm not exactly sure what they have. Then from us, you could also get data. It works many ways. Another thing what we can do is, if we have an MGP ID, which we recently just got 30,000, then I can look through, do a simple Sparkle query, or Beacon. I've heard Beacon is quite good too. And there we get a list of pairs, basically, Wikidata to MGP. And then we can go to us, where we have these new 30,000 MGP IDs. We can look in our database if any of them are coming up in this list, and then we can simply just take the Wikidata ID and also put it in. That means that we have a birth date, whereas beforehand we just had a PhD date, which helps a huge amount. We also maybe get extra affiliation data or even more external IDs, because Wikidata maybe has even more. So from our MGP, we've gone to get a Wikidata, which is very simple. And from a Wikidata, then we have a Mac tutor, we have a DBLP, whatever we want, whatever's there. Okay, there is one problem that I've come across with this. It is a domino effect. So we have our really nice Wikidata ID to our Zebi Math author. We then get from that, we get our MGP ID, which contains a PhD year. We get a birth year also. So we have these three things. Then we realize, oh no, we made a mistake up there with this Wikidata ID. Jacob Bernoulli, who we thought was Jacob Bernoulli, was actually Jacob the second Bernoulli, or the Jacob the third Bernoulli, or something like that. Or also this Michael Müller, it was the wrong guy. So we have all this new information, and now it's all irrelevant. It's all incorrect. So we always have to remember where our source comes from. So we have to put into maybe our database an extra column that is a source ID or parent ID, and then just do a delete on cascade. So when this source is deleted, then we have to basically invalidate all of the information we've gotten from that, which is a bit of a headache, but once you have it set up, it's actually fine. Another idea, which we'd want to do is just for fun. We have the Fields Medal, which is basically the Nobel Prize for mathematicians under 40. It's quite prestigious in mathematics. So what we can do is, because we have the birthday from Wikidata, we can now train a model based on co-authors, for example, fields of work, affiliations, amount of papers they've written, put that into some sort of neural network or something that everyone does. And then what we can do is we can rank all of these authors. This one is probably going to win the next Fields Medal, which is 2018. So it's a pretty good time to do it. And that, of course, would just be for fun. And then what we've planned is, as I said, we're going to put lots of ZibiMath IDs back into Wikidata, because now we have a lot more. We need to, of course, do work on our matching between Wikidata, because the problem is sometimes there's some values that aren't on Wikidata, so we can't really train a model if some things are missing all the time. It gets a bit headachy, whereas with MGP, it was quite simple because there were three things and they're almost always there. It was very simple. And another thing we want to do is, with this timeline that I showed you, we just have that there because it looks cool. Ideally, we'd also like to use information like, oh, this guy was at this college at this time and he wrote this and they wrote that together, maybe. You know, it's a bit of guesswork, but you could take quite a lot of out of that information. Yeah. And that's it. So I'd like to hear any questions if you have any, just to chat. Yeah. The microphone is there, I believe.
So my question is, did you do any queries of Wikidata first? Because we've got tons of mathematicians.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, you have the label mathematicians, but mathematicians, they're not always that way. Like, also use some physicists. Sorry. Like, that would be one way of doing a matching. We have done that. And we've done name matching with mathematicians.
We are missing occupations on Wikidata because we got all the interwiki links.
Yeah.
But we do have descriptions. So you can actually query the descriptions for the word mathematician. Have you done anything like that?
Not yet. No, as I said, our Wikidata matching is quite young. We've only done it once. And it has been very much so just limited to mathematicians in this occupation and with a very strong naming matching.
Okay.
We've been very strict about that thus far.
Yeah, I have tons of questions, but my main one is, how can we invert that? Because we're doing author disambiguation on Wikidata. We would like to use resources like yours, and we have some resources. So, for instance, if we have a set of papers which have like John Smith here and Michael Miller there, and then we take into account what we already know about papers that some John Smiths and some Michael Millers have published, so we have some tools that are aware of that and can actually give us some estimate of the probability that this paper is actually by that John Smith, not by the other John Smith. And if we could take into account more information from your end, that would be useful for just author disambiguation. Another thing is, in your graph you had arrows going both ways. Do you actually feed back any of the information? If you notice that, for instance, the PhD year is missing in Wikidata, do you put it in?
That not yet. So at the moment, what we do is we would put in IDs that are missing.
Okay. And what about if you identify so-and-so as the author of so-and-so paper, and the paper actually has an item in Wikidata, then you could add the author statement.
The problem there is, as I said, with this domino effect, we could actually, I guess, but that's even more complicated.
Wikidata is a wiki, right?
Yeah. But if we're already deleting it where we have it, but then we'd also have to go in there and see where we've changed it there and also delete there. It would be possible. The IDs thing I find quite easy, and we will do that. But for the extra metadata, then it also will be possible, but it's a bit more headachy.
Yeah, maybe let's just think about how we could actually combine two workflows. So we would like to build on your curation efforts, and you could build more on ours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Likewise, hundreds of questions.
I'm here all day.
First an observation, just looking at some of the items on Wikidata that have your ID associated with it already, they don't have English labels. The ones I found were Russians. So they have a Russian label. Your pages have an English transliteration of that.
Eastern German, mostly.
I beg your pardon.
Mostly Eastern German.
Yeah, but if you could put those transliterations back into Wikidata.
Yeah.
And likewise, some of them don't have a description, and you could add the description mathematician.
I think that would. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I mean, if you can be more specific, like Russian mathematician, please do, but even just mathematician would help.
Yeah, no, that sounds all very doable, actually, yeah.
Cool. I'll stick a link to Beacon on the Etherpad.
Please do. I had a look, but I couldn't find it, but thanks, sir.
But I suppose I should ask a question as I've actually got the microphone. My question is, could you comment on how you're using ORCID identifiers in...
For authors?
In what you're doing at ZBMath, yeah.
We are using them, but we have a problem that a lot of them are empty or lacking public information. And they're... Yeah, with the dumps, it's also a bit because the you have to like download a huge dump and let's go through each. Like ideally, an API would be, of course, more.
So, are you pulling in ORCID identifiers from Wikidata where we have them and you don't?
I don't think so. I think not yet.
So, once your IDs are in Wikidata, you can use Beacon to collect the ORCID identifiers from Wikidata.
Yeah.
And put those back into your data.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, no, it's all under construction at the moment. Great. So we are getting a few things already. Like we've written scripts to get Mac tutor IDs, which also gives us a biography and that kind of stuff. But yeah, of course, there's always more options. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Fascinating. Daria from Wikimedia Foundation, with a bunch of people here, were involved in this Wikisite initiative, mm-hmm. which, among other things, is also trying to solve problems such as the representation of authors and how to disambiguate it. So what I really like about this, just to expand on what Daniel said, is that there's a ton of proprietary knowledge about author disambiguation that lives in the underbelly of corporations, whether it's like Thomson Reuters, Elsevier and Scopus. And I think we really need to have open source and open data solutions to do this at scale and across domains.
We're actually, I'm working on a project. There's a project partner of mine, Florian, is here too, from DBLP. And we're also working on scalable author disambiguation for bibliographic databases.
Right.
And we want to make it open once it's finished.
So exactly. That's more. Fantastic. That's what we absolutely need.
There's also something, I think CERN also did a project that's similar to that. But I don't think it's still alive.
Yeah.
But the problem is, like, what we do is mathematicians, and they're weird. like, they're different.
So that's exactly the question. That's exactly the question I want to ask you. So
I work a lot with mathematicians. I know.
how generalizable is this approach? You think, you know, if we were to plug in like different types of databases, because biologists may have their own databases, astronomers have their own. How generalizable do you think this pipeline could be?
Well, that's the thing. DABLP do computer science, so they are very different from what we do. So we have problems. Yeah.
They do approach to the disambiguation. Like they take the more publication, the better it gets, because they are doing like Chinese names as well. And
we do too.
I'm looking forward for your in your effort with the DBLB.
As I said, Florian is around here. You probably have to find him. He'll also be good to talk to about that kind of stuff.
Okay, great. More questions?
So the disambiguation pages for painters, we've tackled by putting all of the aliases into the English mm-hmm. alias field. Mm-hmm. So we include Russian Cyrillic characters, and we've gotten some flack for that, but it's like, if it's a Russian painter, we want the Cyrillic characters because we want to maximize findability for this particular person. And we're using the English label just by default. It would be great to have you pump all of your
spellings
mm-hmm. into that English alias field.
Yeah, it works both ways. So, like, we also I recently had a look for I went through the list of female mathematicians at, on Wikipedia, and the first one I didn't find. I was like, oh, that's bad. But it was just because we had the Eastern German, and we didn't have we had her, but we didn't take the Wikidata, and we also need to take the Wikidata spelling still. So we're still also have stuff to do there.
Okay, and something else that I've said a lot is that I think that we totally overlook the possible power of really using disambiguation pages. So there was like some voices in the beginning of early of Wikidata is like, okay, let's throw out disambiguation pages and category pages and list pages, because that's all nonsense. That's not content. We'll give it its own namespace. But I'm like, no. We want to enable disambiguation pages in ways that Wikipedias can only dream of. So on the Michael Müller disambiguation page, let's just use has part in a massive way. Let's get all of those Michael yep. Müllers. So the Michael Müllers with the umlauts and the Michael Müllers without the umlauts. And I think that would be also a great thing to do. It just start it with mathematicians and take it from there.
Yeah.
Just wanted to comment. I worked on a disambiguation project for our authors at the American Physical Society. So mm-hmm. physicists, which mm-hmm. are not too different from. But it's a closed one. And part of the reason is a big factor in that work was using email addresses, because we had that for at least the last 30, 40 years. We had email addresses for almost everybody. And that's not quite a unique identifier, but it's close.
The one problem is, though, you have a lot of like elderly professors or something just saying, okay, put the student's email address in there always. Yeah. So you always have the student email address, and you don't have the...
Or conversely, students using their professor's address.
So
we do end up with five or six different people using the same email address, which is
great. We also include email address.
Actually a factor that you have.
It would be an identifier and a homepage as well.
Yeah.
Because then we can also scrape the homepages and see if the publications that they have are similar to the publications we have. It's also a really good option.
I could just comment that mathematicians would like you to predict the next winner of the Wolf Prize, not the Fields Medal, because that's the lifetime achievement award.
Okay.
That's the real deal.
Not the Abel, no?
What?
The Abel, not? Also okay?
Okay. The Wolf Prize is the obvious one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot of predictions to do. But the thing, under 40 is such a really good feature, you know? Then you exclude already like more than half of the candidates. You're already down to...
Yeah, exclude Andy Wells. Great, yes. Yeah.
It's easy.
Break.
Thank you. Cool. Thank you. Very good.